grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the unwashed hand controversy from Mark chapter 7. You may have your own hand-washing controversies at home with your children, but that's another story. You heard in the gospel how some of Jesus' disciples dug into dinner without the ceremonial washing that the scribes and the Pharisees did before every meal. It was a tradition handed down from them, or for them, from the elders. Wash your hands, of course, but also wash your pots and your cups and your copper vessels and your dining couches before you eat. For some, this may be the beginnings of where OCD was invented. This, in and of itself, was not sinful activity. In the legal sense, cleanliness is indeed next to godliness, although that's not in the Bible. It was something John Wesley said in a sermon in 1778. But in this sense, that's why Moses had to take off his shoes before the burning bush, because the place he was standing was on holy ground. In other words, take your dirty sandals and get them off God's carpeted living room. Or, when the priests went into the temple of God, what did they have to do first before entering to serve? They had to wash in the brazen altar before going in. Nobody went into the temple without washing first and being clean. But to take this a step further and to teach that unless you wash like we do in ways not even God commanded, then you are not holy, you're not worthy to eat, you're not clean and not right like us, so said the Pharisees, is to place something else in the way of God's pure word. It's turning traditions of men into the commandments of God. And that reveals only one thing: idolatry of self, not faith in the Father, not trust in the word of God alone. Imagine God appearing to you and asking you to walk one step. You, being eager to please, say, "For you, O Lord, not one step, but 10,000 steps," and off you go. 3 hours later, the angel catches up with you and says, "Where have you been?" You reply, "The Lord commanded me to go one step, so I went 10,000. And the angel replies, "He went 9,999 too many." God knew what he was doing when he gave us 10 commandments. He didn't ask us to invent 10 more of your own. He said, "In these you shall learn the right relationship with me. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." And then you also learn the right relationship with your neighbor, that of love, beginning with your parents, honor your father and your mother. But the Pharisees and the scribes had a way of leaving God's commands and making traditions favoring themselves in the long run. As Jesus pointed out in the text today, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your own tradition. For Moses said, "Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever he would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." Korban apparently was a special gift that you could give to the temple, practically all of your money and possessions. And because this sounds so holy and right to do, that the temple would take care of your money, therefore you could really hang on to that money in the end, because you don't have to give it to other people. You just give it to the temple. Give it to God. Give me all your money, kind of thought from the Pharisees. Now what happens is when mom and dad run into trouble, need help, need a place to live, they could say, oh, I'm sorry, but I gave all my money to the temple. I can't help you. And thus, they forsake the commandment, honor your father and your mother. And then later on, once mom and dad are gone, the temple starts to give the money back. They can use it as they need. This is why Jesus calls them hypocrites and quoted Isaiah against them. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. But there's really something more here at stake, not just morality and fidelity to the law, but also the gospel of who Jesus is and what he has come to do. Remember, Jesus was on his way to the cross in order to pay for the sins of the people and reconcile sinners to the Father. It would not be their washing of hands or pots or couches that made them clean in God's sight. For sinners sin daily and must wash hands thoroughly and frequently. But when Christ comes and cleanses you totally by washing away your sins in baptism, doing God's work of forgiving your sins completely with his blood-bought forgiveness, washed by the blood of the Lamb, there's no comparison. Thus, they reject the commandments of God. Thus, they reject also Jesus. Traditions of washing before eating is not a bad tradition, considering only 1 in 8 people ever wash their hands before eating. It's about 12% of people thoroughly wash their hands appropriately. Doctors do say that we could reduce diseases by 1/3 up to 1/2 if more people properly wash their hands. But leaving the commandment of God in order to establish your own traditions is a symptom of a different kind of disease. Hypocrisy with complications of self-idolatry, the result of which is eternal death. But God has revealed his life-saving cure, his grace, for those who forget to wash their hands and for those who have left the commandments but have turned in repentance back to God and in faith in his Son, our Savior. Let us keep the good tradition, the sure one, the Ten Commandments, plus repentance for all of our failures to do right, and faith in God's washing, not ours, not our own washing, but in the washing that Jesus brings by his blood-bought forgiveness that covers and cleanses us from every sin and stain. Remember that tradition above all, and you will be blessed. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.